You're listening to the Mangroves to Mountains podcast, where we talk all things outdoors, hunting, fishing, paddling, camping, adventure travel, and more. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by EvergladesFlies.com. From trout to tarpon, we got you covered. Lee Hinton, how are you? How's
Great,
it going?
Jim, how... Good, buddy.
Do you want to have the video on or off? Maybe we'll keep it on just for the just so we can see, so we don't talk over each other. I'll just be sharing the audio anyway.
Been shooting a bow a lot. Been practicing.
Yeah,
hoping I'll get a.
Yeah, it's Saturday, right? Saturday is the opener.
Yeah, Saturday's first day here.
And you're hunting where again? I know, but just for the listeners.
Saturday, I'm taking my best friend. He wants to kill one with his compound, so we're going to go and hunt and see if he can get one. I probably won't shoot. I'll probably be waiting, hoping he'll get one come in on his land in Rockingham County in North Carolina.
Okay, cool. How far is that from you?
It's about 40 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah, easy drive. Okay, cool. Yeah.
He's got a lot of turkeys up there.
He does. Okay. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hunting. I'm going to be hunting my that small property I bought up in Allegheny County. And I got a couple pictures of Tom's last fall, but my camera kind of crapped out. So I have one of those cell cameras. So I don't know what's been up there, if anything. So I'm going to just be going in kind of blind and just doing the best I can. See what's around.
You'll hunt with a gun.
Yeah, with a gun. Yep. Just because it's the first time on that property and I don't know what's around and, you know, I haven't scouted it at all. So
I don't blame you. Fun hunt with a gun.
Yeah. The only turkeys I've killed have been with a shotgun. And I killed one years ago with a black powder gun. And I don't know. The viewers can't see your background, but you got some massive deer behind you. Amazing.
North Carolina, they're good deer.
They are. Yeah. Especially from that angle, like from below. Wow. That's impressive.
And my biggest one in the middle, it was probably one of the nicest deer I ever put my hands on in North Carolina, but it was unequal. It didn't score all that well.
Uh-huh.
The net score wasn't that great. It's like 130 and 5/8, but the gross score was like 158. It had a lot of deductions, but I don't net fishing, you know, they're not really for deer hunting for me.
Yeah.
Net score fishing.
And then when you go out, when you're hunting on your own this spring, like for turkeys, not with your buddy, but just on your own, are you going to, what's your setup? Are you hunting out of a blind? Are you hunting on the ground? Well, obviously on the ground, but blind or no blind?
I hunt with a blind. I like the net down in front of it so I can get by with movement. You don't, you have to, I wear black anyway, in the blind, I wear a camouflage going in because they might see you, you know, you might get away with more. But when I get in there, I'll usually take it off that black. But they can't see you with a net down. I've been doing it for a few years. I shoot through the net with the broadheads, and I've never had a problem. I mean, even when I shot a compound, I never had a problem shooting through the net. Out to 25, 30 yards, I never had a problem. I never noticed a difference with a broadhead.
Mm-hmm.
But I shot fixed blade broadheads. I've never shot it spinal through the net.
Gotcha.
I may try, if I kill one this year, I may try to hunt without a blind after that and see if I can kill one.
This
I tried years ago.
It's a challenge.
Very difficult. I mean, before you could even get drawn, I'd usually have to call in 10 or 12 turkeys before I could even get the bow drawn on one. And I never got a shot. The blind Blind is probably, for a first-time turkey hunter, is probably one of the best things that's ever been invented, because they have such keen eyesight. They can pick up on the slightest movement, and they're not curious of anything. They're scared to death of everything. So if something's not right, they'll run away or walk away, and they can disappear behind a tree, and you'll never see them again. It's the dadgummest thing I've ever seen. So, they're so hard to kill sometimes, you know.
Yeah, they give you the slip, and it's like they just like they turn into smoke. Like they're just gone. Like where did it go? Like a deer, you hear running off. At least maybe you see a tail. Turkeys are just gone. They're just where did it? Like a trap door or something.
Run real fast and go behind one tree that's probably about the size of your leg, and you never see him again. You don't know where he went.
It's amazing. I know. It's
He would have
crazy.
shot. Where did he go? You
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen those blinds? I think several companies are making them now where from the inside it looks like you don't see any net at all. Like you don't see any, you can
know. You can
basically
see.
just see through it from the inside out.
I've looked at them and I've looked at several of them. I've sat in them and with a bow, and I just it with a lot with a longbow recurve. I think it'd be tough to get a shot out of some of them because the windows are too high. You need a
Yes.
window with a longbow recurve. Now with a compound, you probably could get by with it, but I like the thought of it and I like the concept of it. But I've got an old double bull matrix before Primos bought them, and I probably bought it around 2001 or two. Man, that thing has served me well. I'll tell you, it's heavy, but it's a great blind. I've started carrying it different ways. I started carrying it with the strap on it and in the bag for a long time. I carried it like that. Then I got a blind pack for it that you put on there. It's so heavy it started tearing the blind pack, but then I bought a military surplus metal frame for their backpack. The military, it's really comfortable. I got it and I just put a ratchet strap on it, strap it on the back of it, and I can carry it. And it seems like I can carry it better like that. It doesn't move pretty nice, but it's heavy. I mean, I'm getting older. It's heavy to carry it long ways. It's aggravating. It makes Well, one thing it does do is it makes you sit there for a while because you get to thinking about having to pick it up and move it. You say, "Yeah, go."
Yeah, really.
I've killed a lot of turkeys just sitting there because I was too lazy to get up and move it.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you. I say, "Man, I ought to move and go over here." I said, "No, I'm not going to because I just don't feel like packing all this stuff up." And then a half hour later, a turkey walks up and I kill it. So
Yeah.
it's pretty sweet in that aspect of it.
Yeah, I've seen like those late morning toms that come in or even midday.
Yeah,
Yeah.
after that, I had one last year, the second bird I killed last year. I killed him at about 2:36. I mean 12:36 or something like that. I worked them all morning and they shut up and I wasn't leaving that spot. I knew it was going to be a good spot because there was a lot of acorns left from the year before, and it looked like somebody had a garden tiller in there tilling up the woods. And I said, "I'm not leaving this spot. I'm going to sit here till I kill something or I miss something or I see it." And matter of fact, Dalton Lewis from Stick Boys, he texted me about 10 minutes after 12. And he said, "How you doing, old man? Have you got anything yet today?" And I said, "I'm working one, but he hadn't showed up." And as soon as I quit texting him, I called with a call and he gobbled and walked out. And 20 minutes later, I killed him. He came in. So, yeah, but the blind is the way to go if you're starting to bow hunt, if you want to bow hunt turkeys. But you need to be where the turkeys want to be. The blind's not going to scare a turkey. You can put it out in the middle of the field. It's not going to scare you. But a bad decoy will. I promise you. Buy the best decoy you can afford. That's all I can tell you. And my opinion is buy a Jake. Don't worry about the hen. Buy a Jake. I have a stuffed Jake decoy that's mounted. And he works really well. Matter of fact, I've named him Dr. Death because so many times it's a cut presence. He loves it when they do it, I think. But I bought some DSD decoys because he was getting pretty tattered up from the turkeys bouncing on him and hitting him and stuff. And I bought some DSD decoys, and they're great. I mean, they look realistic. You glance at them, you almost jump. It makes you look. But I bought a hen, and that year, first day, I killed a I had three toms come in. It took forever for them to come in. But they came in, and I killed one of them. And I hunted after that hard, trying to kill another one. And I couldn't get another one to come in. And next year I hunted, and I think I killed a jake early, like first week. And then after that, I had like 20-some gobblers come in. Or different. Some of them might have been the same gobbler. They came in and gobbled, but they wouldn't come to my distance that I wanted to shoot. With a longbow, I will not shoot past 10 yards. I just don't. I refuse to do it. I'm afraid, I don't want to wound a turkey. I'd rather him walk off than be wounded. It's a very, they're very tough. They're very have a small vital area. They're very hard to hit, and they look big, but they've got a vital the size of your fist. You know, and if you miss that area by half an inch. I mean, they could run off and live for days with your arrow stuck in them. And, you know, I just don't want to do that. I'd rather just let him go and hunt him another day. And if I'm not sure I can kill him, I really like it inside 10 yards because outside of 10, I've wounded several and I just won't do it anymore. So, I mean, I've really thought about putting a string tracker on. I know it's probably a good idea, but I just hadn't done it yet.
Yeah, that was my next question. If you use those before.
Have not, but I think it'd be a good idea to do one. I don't see why not. I mean, turkeys don't, they make a little noise, but turkeys don't jump the string, you know, like a deer or
Yeah.
anything. Well, I'm just telling you, turkey's tough animal. I mean, people underestimate how tough they are. You want the sharpest broadhead you can get, and the most, I like a wide one, but you want to shoot as much poundage as you can. And pinpoint accuracy is very critical. I've never shot at their head like some people do, but I always shoot a mid-body up straight up the legs. That's what I try to do. And it seems, but even if you do that, the dadgum things can go get away from you. But getting back to the decoys, I had a hen and a jake out, and I had 20 some, over 20 some, I don't know, 24 something turkeys come in. From 30 to 15 yards to stand there and gobble at my decoys. They wanted the hen to lead the jake. It wouldn't come in. So that was as last year, I just put a jake out and I shot one at 7 yards and one at like 6 yards, something like that. They came right to it. You know, they didn't hesitate. But the secret is to set up your blind, or if you're not in a blind, even if you're hunting with a gun, set up where they can't see past you. If you call to an animal and he can see past you, he's not coming most of the time because he can see, he doesn't see anything else around him. I mean, if you got a jake and you're yipping like a hen, he's looking over there for the hen. He doesn't see her. He sees a jake. They conserve energy. They don't want to waste their energy. So they're not going to walk over and fight the jake for no reason. But he can't see past you. Thinks the hen's in the thick stuff over there bedding their nest. I mean, nesting. You know, trying to nest or something, he's gonna come on in there to run the jake off, if nothing else, just to run him off so he can have the hen. So when he can see the hen, my opinion is he just won't come in. I got a bunch of buddies that kill them too, bows, and they say the same thing. They just take a jake decoy. Scooter Peg of Sunrise Custom Calls, that's all he takes is a jake. He's versus kills turkeys. I mean, he kills them and he takes people and kills them. He kills them in several states. And I mean, I heard it a long time ago, but a good, buy the best decoy you can. I like the DSD is probably the best one you can get. Avian X is a real good one too. I got a buddy that hunts near me in Alamance County and he got some Avian X. I told him to get them first time he put one out. He had a gobbler come in and he missed him with his self bow, but he cut a bunch of feathers off of him and a little bit different shots that year. Just, but he missed every one of them. But he said, best year he ever had. Said, he probably killed, I ain't gonna tell how many turkeys he killed with a shotgun. He said, I've never been so excited in my life.
Yeah, I
Been in
can.
there at 4, 5, 6 yards, man. It's, and you can feel your chest vibrates when they're strutting. I mean, It ain't. It's nothing like it. It's just a great feeling, you know. It's such a difficult animal to kill, you know. So that's what I see. I like hunting them. I like to call them. I like to call and something call back, you know.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I was watching some videos before we started, and these guys were shooting. It was bowhunting.com, and they were all shooting compound bows or crossbows, and they did not get one pass through, even with a compound at, 15 yards or whatever. Just those arrow the feathers, I guess. It's not the bone structure. It's probably the feathers that just slow down the arrowhead, the arrow.
The bone structure, and plus your turkey, if you shoot a deer weighs like 100 pounds, 100 to 200 pounds. It doesn't move when you hit it. It stands still and the arrow goes through it. When you hit a deer, I mean, when you hit a turkey, it goes with the arrow. It like absorbs the shock because it's a 20 pound animal. And you're shooting 40, if you're shooting a longbow, you're shooting at the most 40 pounds of kinetic energy. So it's going to move that 20 pounds. And those feathers along that wing, they're like armor.
Yeah.
And it goes through those, and then it hits the bones. The bones, a deer bone is hollow. And you hit it, and it cracks, and it goes through it. When you hit a turkey bone, it's got like baffles in it. And it breaks step by step by step by step. I mean, it's tough to penetrate a turkey. And if you're shooting an expandable broadhead on a compound, I've killed a few of them with compounds with expandables. They absorb that shock. They'll knock them down and roll them over, and they'll get up and run off. I mean, so the only pass-throughs I ever really had on a turkey with a compound with a cut-on contact broadhead, and I blew through them then. You know, and then they ran off too. I shot one a couple of years ago at 4 steps from the blind. I shot him with a 2-inch tree shot, and it blew right through him. It did. I was so tickled. The arrow was sticking in the ground, sort of crossways. He ran 4 steps, 5 steps, and stood there. And I said, "Well, he's going to go down." He was staggered, and he jumped straight up in the air about 10 feet and flew.
Oh
His
no.
wings times and locked them and sailed back to where he came from. I was sitting there saying, "Holy crap, what did I just do?" And I'm sitting there, I mean, it was a perfect shot. It looked like it. So I said, "Well, I'm going to sit here for 30 minutes or more." I sat there, and a hen walked up and walked around my decoy. Look, finally, she left, and I walked over there where he stood. There was blood everywhere. It was a plowed field on the edge. And I walked down the plowed field to where he went, and I could see blood in the dirt. And I got to the edge of the woods, probably 90, 100 yards away. And I saw some feathers, and I looked behind the little bush, and there he lay. He just sailed and fell over dead. Them
Wow.
things, the toughest things I have ever shot. I've shot hogs. I've shot deer. I hadn't shot no elk or anything like that. But I'm telling you, a dead gum turkey has a will to he has a will to get away from you. So, I mean, they're tough animals.
Well,
They're tough.
they have a lot of things that can kill them, a lot of predators that can, you know.
Curious about anything. I mean, anything scares them, they're gone.
Yeah. So what's your setup this year? Or
Well,
we talked about decoy and blind and actually before that let's talk about calling. What do you like to do? Do you like to I mean do you locate them the night before? Are you kind of just pretty sure where they're going to be just from historic evidence or just history hunting the property?
I mean, usually if I had never hunted a property, I like to go in the morning and get out there and just sit there and listen, see if I hear one gobble, you know, and see if I can hear one gobble somewhere. If I hear him gobble, I'll list a minute or two. Usually there'll be another one gobbling, more than one. And then I pick out, you know, a high spot. I like to get up a little higher than they are. I don't like to get down below them. I like to get above them because turkey always wants to go up, in my opinion. I'm not an expert, but they always like to go high and look down. They don't A deer likes to be in the bottom because he can catch your scent, you know, the wind, the smell. Because in the bottom, he can always smell. Turkeys can't smell enough. So they use their eyesight a lot. So they like to get high. So I like to get above them and I like to set up. And once I get set up as close as I can without them, I think without them seeing me, you know, if I've got one on a roost and I'll listen to them gobble for a while after I pop up my blind. I can pop it up pretty quiet. A lot of times they gobble at it when I pop it up. It sounds like wings flapping or something. I don't know. I set up on them and I sit there and let them gobble a few times. And then I like to take a real soft call and yelp maybe like four or five times. But when you yelp at a turkey, a lot of people don't do it right. It's like singing a song. You got to have a rhythm to it, you know, like a melody. It's like, yelp, 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 yelp. It's not choppy. It's real smooth. Because if you listen to a hen, she may be raspy or coarse or something, but she's always got a smooth talk. You know, it's just a smooth rhythm to it. And I learned that from my uncle years ago. He's killed. I mean, when I was a young boy, I hunted with him with a shotgun. A hen doesn't necessarily sound good, but they got a rhythm to them. And I call, if he'll answer me, I'll just shut up. And I'll sit there. He knows where you're at. Once he answers you, he knows where you're at. And I'll just wait till he hits the ground. The more you make him gobble in a tree, the worse off you are. Because the more he gobbles, the more, if there's hens around, the more hens are going to come under his tree. They'll fly down, walk under his tree. And when you hear him gobbling, and he starts short gobbling, like just doing it real quick, that means he's looking at a hen. He's seeing her. She's under there. So you might as well just sit there and wait and not do anything. And I'll just sit in the blind and wait. And I don't like to get up and move because he already knows where you're at. And a lot of times they'll gobble. I've killed a lot of turkeys first thing in the morning, but I've killed a lot of turkeys about 8:30 or 9:30 in the morning, somewhere in there, after they get through messing around with a bunch of hens. The first week or two, you kill a, if you you kill a lot of young turkeys, like 2-year-old birds, because it's only one gobbler going to do the mate. I mean, he's the dominant bird, and that dude will mate with every hen in there. He will mate with every hen in there, and the other turkeys just stand there. Other gobblers just stand around him and gobble, wishing they could mate. The dominance thing. I've seen them do it, and so some of them times they'll go challenge him, and if they beat him, then they're the dominant bird, you know. So. If you got some birds the same age class in there, I don't know. They have what's called a pecking order. That's what they call it then, I guess, you know. I'll sit there and I'll wait it out. And a lot of times they shut up. And I'll just sit there and be quiet and just soft cluck and purr. I don't, about every 30 minutes, I'll call a little bit louder. If I hear one gobble, I'll call a few times to him and just play it by ear, see how he's acting. If he responds right back to you, yelp. If he gobbles and you yelp at him, and he gobbles right back, then I'll call more aggressive. But if he doesn't answer right back, I'll just sit there and be quiet. You got to remember, a lot of times when a turkey gobbles at you and you yelp to him and he gobbles back, and then you yelp again, he doesn't say anything, he's coming to you. He's coming. When he gets quiet, a lot of times he's coming. He's on a path to come. That means he's probably not the dominant bird. Because he's coming in, and he's not wanting to call attention to himself. Because a dominant bird will come over and try to kick his butt. So, and about this time of year, they've all split up. They're in a gang. You know, they've been in a gang all winter. They know who the boss is. It doesn't take. They don't have to kill each other. They just know who's in charge, and then they find out who's second in charge and who's third in charge. You know, so I'm not very picky. I'll shoot the fifth in charge. I don't care. I'll shoot the first one that comes in. I'm not gonna wait and hold out. I mean, I did with a shotgun when I hunted with that, but I hadn't got there yet with a bow. I mean, but I do want to kill one without a blind. But with the blind, you can get by with so much. You can sit in there and move around and everything. And when I get one close and he's standing out there looking, a lot of times if you're in the woods, you can reach your hand down beside you in the blind and scratch the leaves. That's enough to bring him in. A lot of times that him right into you. That is a deadly call. He can hear that 70, 80, 90 yards away. So they hear, they can hear very, very well, and they can walk right to the spot where you called them from. I've called them before and then moved and sat there and watched where I could see where I was at before, and I've watched them walk to that spot and look around. And
wow.
I said, dang, sat there, you know. So they're a hard bird to figure out because they don't have curiosity. And they can be sitting there one day all fired up, and next day they can fly down and then just walk 10 miles away. I mean,
yeah, there's no rhyme or reason, at least that I can figure.
Not like a deer or a hog or anything like that. They just are liable to, for no reason, decide to start walking and just disappear like a goose. You never know where they're going to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're usually going to be around food or around hens, you know. And hens, but I've seen hens. I've had hens standing around me and had gobbler standing off this side by itself and never even come in. I mean, go figure. You know, I don't understand them. That's why they're so fun to hunt. You can't figure them out, you know?
Yeah, it's unpredictable. Let's talk a little bit about your bow setup. And you mentioned Simmons, right? The big Simmons heads. But what do you shoot for bow?
Well, here, last year I shot the great white. It's like two and a little over 2 1/4 inch cut. It's devastating. But I've shot the tree shark for years. It's 2 inch cut. They're vented. They fly good, but you got to tune your arrow a lot to them and everything. But that great white, I have shot it. I'm impressed with it. It's a 200. He says 250, but it's probably 235 grain broadhead. But the blades come back on the shaft a lot. It's a screw in, and I've shot it on four different bows, and every one of them I shoot a 200 grain field point, and every one of them out to 30 yards flies. I'm so impressed. I cannot describe how impressed I am. Killed two deer with them this year. And the penetration was good. I mean, but both of them were on a 52-pound bow. It didn't go all the way through them, but it cut out three ribs on each side on both of them and broke the shoulder on the other side, but it wouldn't come out. But I don't know with my longbow if it would have. But two turkeys I shot last year. The arrow came out the other side, but the arrow was still in the bird. On one of the birds, I shot it quartered to me slightly. It went in the front of the wing butt, it came out at the hip. And when I cut the breast off, the breastbone cut one side off. When I cut the other side off, the breastbone came off in my hand.
Oh my gosh.
I almost cut that turkey in half long way. I said, dadgummit. I mean, they didn't go, they jumped up in the air about 5 feet and fell on the ground and lay there.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them just devastating. I made good shots, but the broadhead shoots so well. I mean, 48-pound bow and up, I'd shoot it at a turkey, wouldn't hesitate. I mean, it sharpens good. I just cannot describe how good it flies. I mean, I've shot them on four different bows, and I mean, I was shooting them the other day, and I was able to hit a 50-cent piece at 20 yards with it every time I shot it.
Wow.
Three different for broadheads. At 30 yards, I was able to keep them in a 3-inch circle. I mean,
that's good. Me start, better than good.
Yeah, maybe it's think if I could extend my range on turkey from 10 yards to maybe 15. You know, you can't tell you how many turkeys I pass up at 15 yards every year. I pass up five or six. You know, they come in, look, and it's just they won't come the rest of the way in. You know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lee, let me pause it there for a sec. Give me 1 sec. I got to check something. I have a pork roast in the oven, so I had to go run in there and I forgot all about it. I didn't burn it. It's good. It's good shape. It's getting there.
That'd be good. Is it wild pork?
No, it's domestic. Aldi special. They're pretty good though. So I think we're talking about arrow. Yeah, oh yeah, the great white. And then what arrows are you shooting?
Shooting an Easton Trad Axis. I had never switched. I'm shooting a 61-pound bow. I shot it last year for turkeys. I've killed a couple with 55, 56-pound bows and some with a 50-pound bow, but I like all the poundage I can get. I mean, I'm only shooting 10 yards and they can't see me draw it back and I'm in the blind and I want everything I can get. I'm shooting about a 600-grain arrow. And they take it, man. They carry it. I mean, I got three videos on YouTube on my buddy's Todd Herndon's video channel. You look it up of me shooting them with it with tree sharks. I ain't got one with a great white, but tree shark I thought was awesome doing damage, and get the fly right. But that great white, I cannot. I'm just telling you, for turkeys, it's awesome. I don't know if with my longbow, I don't know if I want to shoot a 200-pound deer with it. I don't know how good it would do, but that it flies really, really good. I mean, it's amazing how good it will fly. I shot it at an archery shop. They had a 3D tournament. I showed it to a guy. He was making broadheads. He said, "That thing won't shoot." And I stepped back about 33 yards, and I hit a 4-inch orange dot on a broadhead target with it. He couldn't believe it. I did it like three times in a row. I said, "The thing shoots. It shoots. It being as heavy as it is, it doesn't really. I don't know how come, why it shoots just like a 200-grain head, being like a 235-grain head. It doesn't change it any. I guess the way Simmons heads do when you screw them in, the blade comes back on the shaft a little bit, but like
Yeah.
screws up it." I think it has a lot to do with it. I talked to Dave about it the other day, Dave Overgy, who owns Simmons, and I told him he had something right. I don't know. And he's
Yeah.
too.
What's your technique for sharpening those?
Well, I use a razor's edge clamp. They don't make the broadhead clamp anymore. Mine's about wore out, but my buddy gave me a regular knife clamp. I ground it off on a sanding belt. I use a Hewlett jewel stick and a half round file to get it sharper. They say a rod of sharpener will sharpen it, but I can't get it sharp on it. I don't know. I'm being honest. I cannot get it sharp on that. I can sharpen butter on the truck on the roll my truck window halfway down and sharpen it on the glass right there. I can get it sharper than I can on the rod. There's different methods. I don't think I was too keen on getting it really razor sharp, like strapping sharp where it was slick and so sharp. I got a friend who's got a $800 sharpening kit. He would get them sharp like that, and especially deer. I shot deer with them. They'd go through them, but they wouldn't bleed for a long way. Like 30 start bleeding. When I have a more rough texture on the edge, where it cuts shaves hair off your arm or your leg, and I shoot them, they bleed right away. And I find it, So I don't know. I get them where they shave, and I'm good with that.
Yeah, same here.
All broadheads will work good on a turkey if you hit him right. That's whatever shoots good off your bow if you get it sharp. But it's got to be sharp. And all this stuff they used to say about leaving the broadhead in the turkey, that's bull. You want to knock a hole out the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, bust two holes in it. You do that, the air goes out faster and you find it quicker. Man, them duckers, I'm telling you, you think you hit them perfect. And it doesn't take nothing for them to get away from you. You can't find them. I mean, I've had some tough ones. I had one with I used to shoot hummingbird bows a lot, and took Ben and Linda Graham years ago. And Ben killed his first turkey with me. That's something that I'm real proud of. I mean, because he was a mentor to me about shooting a bow and everything. And he missed the first one, and I caught a second one in that day in a different spot, and he killed it. And then the next year, he wanted me to take his wife, Linda. She's killed a lot of game animals. She killed a turkey. It was non-typical. What they got, it's got two beards on it. It was a big bird, probably one of the biggest birds I've killed with a, been around, killed with a bow. And she didn't hit it real well, and we had to wait, but we found it. She had to shoot it again. And it's tied for first in this North Carolina Bow Hunters Association records for biggest non-typical turkey. She shot it with a longbow. The girl that tied her, she shot it with a compound. But yeah, that's the thing about turkeys, though. I mean, everybody goes on beard length or trophy on turkey, but to me, it's the spurs. They grow, beard's a feather. I mean, they'll grow it continuously. You know, when I was a kid, when I was young, I killed turkeys that had 12-inch beards. You don't kill them like that anymore. I don't know why. I guess because they're wearing them off, but them turkeys used to be taller and bigger. I don't know. I killed them in Caswell County hunting on game lands with a shotgun in my uncle. But I don't know. It just didn't. I killed a bunch and it just didn't mean as much to me. When I killed the first one with a longbow, I'm telling you what, I was on cloud nine. It was the most exciting thing. I shot him about 4 feet too. I mean, it
Really?
came to the. Oh yeah, just I almost had a heart attack. I thought I missed him. Arrow went through him so fast. I thought I missed him. And he ran over and turned upside down and kicked. I said, I about passed out. It was.
Yeah, I know I would have. I gotta sneeze. Excuse me. Yeah, it's Well, like I said, I'm going to see what it's like at the property, and then who knows, if I can get one early, maybe I will bow hunt the rest of the season. We'll see. I'd like to get one down with a shotgun because I'm not a real experienced turkey hunter. I haven't done it in like 7 or 8 years.
I like I should, I mean I never use a slate call till later, but a slate call is really a good sounding call. It's easy to use, and if it's me and I was going to hunt a property I never hunted, I sat there and listened till I heard one gobble. When the crows start flying down in the morning, they'll gobble first thing, and you'll hear where he gobbles at, and I'd make my way and try to get around above him. About halfway there, I stop and listen again, make sure that he's still gobbling. Don't push in too close. And when he gets down, and he doesn't come to you, yelp to him a few times. He doesn't come to you with a gun. Just sit real still and wait till you hear him gobble away from where he roosted at. Get your butt over near that roost tree where he roosted at and sit down and get quiet and just sit there. And then later, probably 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, he'll come back around that way. You get up real soft with that slate call, he'll show up. You'll get within 30 yards of that tree. 90% of the time, he'll come right back to that roost tree in the morning. And he comes by there for some reason. I don't know why they do it. They always come at by there, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. But you just got to sit there and be patient. But get something behind you where they can't see through you if you call him. That's the main thing. If they can
That's
see 100 yards behind you, he ain't coming to you.
yeah, it's good
If I
advice. I never thought of that. That's really good.
It's a deer too, anything. But if I was hunting with a gun, I'd never carry a decoy. I'd never carry a decoy. Ain't no sense in it. Because see that decoy, he'll sit there and gobble at it a lot of times. Unless it's a Jake and he can hear the hen behind it. A good tactic with two people is set one person up on the decoy and another person with a Jake decoy and another person get behind them. Like where the turkey's in front of the guy, get behind him 50 yards and call real soft. He hears that hen and he comes running up in there, and then all of a sudden he's looking for the person calling. And he sees the Jake decoy and he'll come right to that Jake decoy to run it off. And you kill him like that. You can get by with a lot more motion. If you're not calling, he's not looking for you in that spot, and you can get by with a lot more motion. But if you're calling, I mean, if you call a turkey, he can walk within a foot of where you're sitting at.
Yeah,
I mean, he
they can pinpoint you where you are, where you're calling from.
deer get about 10 yards of you, but turkey will come right to the exact spot where you were at. For some reason, he knows where you're at. So he's looking for that spot. So if I, a lot of times I used to gun hunt, I'd call him, and I'd get up and move and find a better spot and sit down 10 or 15 yards away from it and sit there and wait. And every time he'd come to that spot about 10 yards in front of it, I'd shoot him about 25 yards. Get something
Puppies,
behind you.
my puppy is going nuts. Something's outside. It's probably a deer in the yard.
You got a nice little spot you at right there. They say
Yeah.
that, I don't know, they say down east is just eat up with turkeys right now. They
It's
say
funny.
that.
I don't see any in the fields near where I live. I did in the fall, but I haven't seen any this spring. I don't know what the deal is. Just like driving around town, Franklin County, you'd think there'd be a pile of them here.
Down in Duplin County, down that way near Wilmington, between Duplin County and Wilmington, they say that's the highest number of turkeys right now in the state.
Oh,
Down
really?
in that, really, really thick. I got a nephew. He's trying to get. He hunted. He was in Marines. He hunted a little bit, and now he's trying to get back into it. He told me. He said, "I've never seen so many turkeys coming out of Jacksonville, North Carolina." He said that they're loaded down there, but turkeys are just real skittish and scared. The worst thing you can do for a turkey, walk through the woods calling, trying to locate one. You go call, get behind a tree, get somewhere and hide, and then call and wait at least 5 or 6 minutes. A turkey can stand behind a tree 7 inches wide. And you can't see him. He can stick his head out, look, and see you standing there.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna say nothing. He's gonna walk away. He ain't gonna fly. He ain't gonna cluck. He ain't gonna do nothing. He's gonna turn around and tiptoe out of there and get away from you because he's scared of everything. So it's best not to sound. Worst thing you can do is walk around through the woods calling like a turkey. Now, getting a locator call, I used to do that a lot. In the morning, I'd take an owl hooter and get them to gobble at me. And that was really good with a crow call, but a lady woodpecker, I've had a lot of gobble at that. I know crow calling can make them gobble. If a turkey, a lot of people say that they have a hard time hearing turkeys gobble, but I don't. Every time I hunt, I hear turkeys gobble all the time. But I don't hunt a lot of public land. Public land, they get call shy, just like elk do, I guess, and everything else. People calling all the time, First turkey.
Overcalling.
Yeah, first turkey I ever killed with a longbow. I was hunting a farm, and I'd seen them in this field a bunch. And riding around looking, see them in the field and during the day. That's a spot a turkey wants to be. So that's a good spot to hunt because they don't mind coming there because they've already been there. So I went in the field, and a turkey gobbled, and I couldn't go where I wanted to go because I'd seen them at the other end of the field. So I set up my blind right there on the edge of a hedgerow, and I put my decoy out. That's the first time I had a really good decoy. Every other time I'd set up decoys, and I mean, I had a real tail feather fan in one. It was a strutting decoy, but it was a Primos thing. And I'd have turkeys come up at 40 yards, stand there and look at it, then turn around and walk off. I thought maybe they're seeing my blind, scaring them and everything. So I said this. This is when I realized that wasn't what it was. I set the decoy up, same blind, and I couldn't put it out very far in front of me, so I had it about 5 yards in front of me, 5 steps. And somebody was on the other property through a thick hedgerow calling too. I heard him, and it was like a push button call. He did not. You could tell he didn't know what he was doing. It was
Yeah.
really out of. It wasn't. It was sounded terrible. So that turkey actually flew down in that field on the other end, away from me, and went away from me, and went across the property line. So somebody shot with a gun over there. So I couldn't hear them calling because I don't hear real well, but
Yeah.
they probably were calling about 250, 300 yards away, and he went straight to them. He was closer to them, I guess. So I just sitting there and I said, "Well, this dude behind me, and this dude's over here with a gun in front of me, I ain't getting up and leaving." Because I had a mounted decoy, I said, and walking out of here, so I hear them, so I figured they gone. I didn't want to get shot. So
Yeah, for sure.
I figured they didn't know what they was doing, so I figured they'd shoot the first thing it moved, so I just sat there, About a half hour later, I heard a turkey gobble up near where I parked at, and up at the other end of the field. So I said, So I called it. It gobbled two times. Oh, Lord, turkey right there. And then that dude behind me just started trying to call. Look, turkey will gobble in a lot of things, but it don't mean he's going to come to it. I call it courtesy gobbling. He just gobbled and let gobble,
Yeah.
gobbling at it. And he came down through the woods, and I thought, he's going to go over there. But I said, it's too thick. He's not going to walk through that briar thicket I can't walk through. He ain't going to go through that to go to that little field that dude's in. But it's an opening coming into my field. It's all open around the edge of it. So he went back up to where I heard him first time. I called to him again. He'd come back down through the edge of the woods. I couldn't see him. Probably 90 yards away. And I called again. He gobbled. I called real soft. He gobbled at me. And that guy just called and called and called. Then he got up to the other end of the field. So I took my diaphragm call and I called as loud as I could. I did what they call a cackle. Just a real long, drawn out call. And that dude gobbled five or six times. While he was gobbling, this other guy was calling at the same time. So I was sitting there, I said, well, he liked that. And I didn't hear nothing else out of it for a second or two. So I looked out the back of the blind and pulled it down. He was running straight to me. I said, Lord mercy, here he comes. We got 40 yards and I watched him. He stopped, started to stretch his neck up just like the rest of them do. And look, I said, now he's going to see the blind. He's going to leave. Nope. He went in the full strut and ran straight out in front of me about 20 yards in full strut. And then he stopped and stretched his neck up and looked at the blind again. I said, well, now he's going to leave. Because every turkey I ever called in before that had left. And all of a sudden, he went in full strut and he came so fast that my bow was leaning against the blind. I had an arrow on it. I had to grab it, pick it up, and he had already got past the decoy when I shot him. I mean, he was lightning fast in full strut. I can't believe he could run that fast in full strut. And I shot him and he actually bumped the blind as he went by. And I said, he's not getting away from me. I was panicked. But I thought I missed it. So I grabbed the top of the blind and it wouldn't stay down. I just spun it around so I could shoot him out the other side. And he turned upside down right there and died. Meantime, this guy's over here behind me through this hedgerow calling all the time, the whole time. And I flipped it over, went over and looked at the turkey. I said, my gosh, it's a nice turkey. I was looking at him, he was laying there. I said, man. So I thought to myself, so I went over and put my blind up, got it all situated. Got my decoy, come over there, and I got my tag out. And I punched my tag. You had to punch him, before you move him. I picked the turkey up. I put him in my turkey vest in the back. Got my blind up. This guy's still calling. Picked my decoy up, and my bow, and I had my arms full. I started walking to the truck, and I turned around. I cut that diaphragm call real hard. That dude started calling like mad. I went on to the truck. He didn't know what happened. He never heard no shooting. No.
That's awesome.
Opening day out that year, and I was so excited. But that turkey, I bought it from a guy. He hadn't made it, and I saw him kill a turkey over it one time. And then there's no telling how many turkeys that decoy's done killed. Because I've killed, I know, me myself about 15 or 16 off of it. And I know the other boys they killed probably they shared it. They probably killed 50 of it, and then like. Got friends that kill some of it with me, So, I mean, his name's Dr. Death. So he's killed a bunch of them, but he's looking right shabby right now. But they don't seem to mind. They didn't mind last year.
Yeah. Is that where you're going to go with this year? Dr. Death again?
Yeah, I'll probably take him unless it's raining. If it's raining, I'm going to take that DSD decoy at Jake and send him out there. He looks good too. He look, you'll see him and it makes you jump, makes you think you've seen a real turkey standing
Jeez.
there. They're expensive, but they do a good job. They paint them up good.
And imagine you'll get years of use out of those, something that quality.
You will. I mean, put them in a bag, carry them. They're made well too. They're real rugged, and they got a rod they stand on, and it slides back up in the turkey. And pull it out. It's got a spot for it to slide in there, and you pull it out and stake it in, and you set the turkey on it. It'll spin around if the wind goes. It's a good turkey. I mean, it's a great setup. A lot of my friends have killed them with the full strut, you know, the one that's full. I got the half strut, but they put a real tail feather in him and real wing feathers in him. They've killed a lot of turkeys with him, a lot of guys.
And is it a Jake? It's a Jake.
Hey, theirs look like a full blown turkey. The only thing about that is that a Jake probably won't come to it. I want to shoot a Jake. I'll shoot the first one that comes in. I
Yeah.
ain't, I'm picky.
Same here. Yep. I was going to ask you to tell your favorite turkey story, but that, you may have just done that. That's pretty amazing.
Got a better one than that.
Oh yeah, yeah, go for it.
That was the first week of that year, that season. The next week, I went with Todd. That was when I'd met Todd shooting the bows at my at the 3D tournaments. He wanted to learn to shoot a longbow, a recurve, and we were working on it. And he got he I mean he really took it to heart. He had switched from right-handed shooter to a left-handed shooter because his left eye dominant. He's left-handed, but he always shot right-handed. And so he was practicing hard. He didn't care nothing about killing turkey, but he said he had turkeys all over his farm. So he said, "Come on, we'll go turkey hunting." So all right. So I went over to his house. We got his truck. We drove in there. He had a blind. We went to put the blind up. He had that blind wide open in the front. He had the net that was hanging down. I used to carry a bunch of safety pins in my hat, on my hat that I wore. I said, "Man, we got to take this blind up. And it's dark." I said, "They can see us sitting here." He said, "Well, that's why I went. Why I took my son. I never seen a turkey." I said, "Yeah, they saw you." So we put the net up so you couldn't see through it. And we sat there. We're on the river down. It's in Rockingham County. We're on a river. And we're sitting in the blind. I got Dr. Death sitting out there in front of me. It's the second time I hunted with him. And we're sitting there in a turkey gobble. And I said, "There he is right there." He said, "Yeah, he's probably about 300 yards away on the edge of the field, maybe on the river." We couldn't tell. He gobbled three or four more times. I yelped at him. He cut me off. I said, "Okay." Well, he heard me. He said, "I think he's crossed the river." I said, "I don't think so." Then I heard, we waited about, I don't know, about 10 minutes. He gobbled about 20, 30 more times. And then they'd cut the field into a tobacco field. It had like rows already cut in, you know, for the tobacco to be planted. And I heard another turkey gobble down in the field way up in front of us. So I pulled out a little push button call to him. I said, "There he is." And he saw him fly down in the field. He said he flew down right in the field. I said, "All right." So I yelped at him one more time. He flopped around and everything. And then I yelped again, and his head turned blue from red. And he went to full strut. Here he came. He walked 300 yards down that field, all the way down, probably maybe 40 yards to my right. And he got even with the edge of the field. He came over those roads. He looked like a battleship going over waves, coming over those roads. He circled around right behind my decoy, and I shot him at about 8 steps. He got it on video. It's on his
Wow.
channel. Video.
What's the name of the channel?
Todd Herndon, video. It's a YouTube channel.
Okay.
Todd, Todd Herndon.
Got it.
He's got videos of me shooting turkeys on there, and
Cool.
I shot him. He went straight up in the air, fell down. He looked at my decoy and ran straight over it like a linebacker, plowed it to the ground, and ran by the blind and bumped the blind when he went by.
Jeez.
He had broke his spurs off, but he was an old gobbler. I mean that was I was pumped when I shot that one. It was pretty good. I shot him with a tree short and a 56-pound hummingbird.
Do
And every
you notice you have to go, do you go with a shorter bow? A lot of guys like go with shorter bows for blinds, or you just shoot your regular deer bow?
finished bow. That's all I ever shoot. I just shoot a 62-inch and that in the matrix blind I got it works fine. I don't have any problems. But I took a class in 2022 with Rod Jenkins, and I used to camp my bow a lot, and bend over and everything. With that class I took, the way I shoot now, I found out when I killed that Jake the other year, right after that year I killed a Jake, I had to get on my knees. I couldn't draw it back.
Oh, yeah.
When I got to draw it back, I couldn't sit in a stool anymore. I had to get on my knees to draw it back, get a little bit lower because I hold my bow more straight up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm shooting the drop time custom bows now, made by Tony Ryder in Georgia. Those bows shoot, man. They are great performing bows. I won the IBO World Championship with one of them. They really shoot. I've shot my hummingbirds good, but I think these perform just as good or better. The hummingbirds are great bows. Ben's passed away. He's not here anymore, but James Parker's got them now.
Mm-hmm.
And can't say enough about him. He's doing a great job. My buddy's buying them from him, and I'm shooting them, and they're great bows too. But me and Tony, he's been good to me on the bows, and I like the way his grips feel, and I'm really shooting them well. He's got more of a high-risk grip, and I'm just shooting those bows really well. That 61-pound bow he got me, first one he made with a three-piece takedown, I can really shoot that bow. I'm telling you, it just every time I pick it up, it hits right where I look. I mess with some of the other ones I've got from him, and I shoot them good, but I don't think I shoot them as good as I do that one. Not at Critters, anyway.
Mm-hmm. When you're competing, do you use your hunting setup, or do you use a lighter bow, or what's your preference?
Well, last year I shot that 61-pound bow, but the year before I shot a 52-pound bow. But I hunted with a 52-pound bow. I killed two deer with it this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shot one doe with a 28 yards with it with a great white.
Wow.
I shot her coming in Oak Ridge. I had two bucks under me. One was a 6-pointer and one was an 8. And they were snort wheezing at each other. And the 6-pointer run to 8-pointer out of the flat, you know. And then he run out. And then a few minutes later, he come pushing his doe back in. She stopped. And I mean, they were 2-year-old bucks, probably both of them. And I drew back and shot the doe. She ran off. I mean, she took off out of there, and the bucks standing there looking around. You know, they didn't know what happened. Anyway, but I got on that farm there, the one you hunted with me. There were 8 gobblers on there last year, 8 or 9. I hadn't seen any of them, but my buddy on the other side, he owns the other land. He had them come in there and do a prescribed burn in the pines he's got. I've heard that just draws turkeys like a magnet. You make a burn like that for some reason. They come up in there. They may be where they're all at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least they're in the same area, anyway, general vicinity.
They're in the same block. They're in there somewhere. But they'll split up. They'll start split up. I saw one 2 weeks ago. I rode in there in the evening. I saw one strutting behind a hen. So they're around there somewhere, but I hadn't gone in there and listened in the mornings yet. I got this winter wheat planted in there.
Okay.
I don't know what buddy's house, but I just know if you look at the videos he's got, the three videos, they're all shot in the same field. It's along a river that runs down there. Them turkeys just hang on that river. They like to hang on that river in that field, that lower, it's a lower field. There ain't no houses around. I guess they just feel safe, you know, that they like to go down there. He's killed two down there with me in that field. You know, I called him in. He killed one time. We had two in the field gobbling at us. They wouldn't come, and I let them walk away. They got up on top of the hill, and I called again. When I did that, they saw us. I didn't realize they couldn't see the decoy.
Oh,
got up high, probably 400 yards away. They saw the decoy. And they come on a dead run, both of them.
Unbelievable.
Went through a ditch, and they came up out of the ditch. One of them stepped up and stretched on 1 foot, holding it up, looking at us. And then he started running, and the other one just tried to catch him. Well, the one that was in front was the biggest one, but then the little one passed him and came up. And Todd was sitting with me. I said, shoot him. And he come by about 4 yards. He shot him. Just smoked. Turkey hit the ground. The other one was standing there about 5-6 yards, about 8 yards, standing there looking. And at the blind, I said, move out of the way. And I said, I drew back to shoot. I missed him. I shot right over his back.
Oh, dang.
he said, look, I said, I missed too, dadgummit. I don't hit everything I shoot at. I miss too. And he started laughing at me. And that turkey hung around and walked around us for an hour behind us. But that dead one was laying out there in the field. And we got it. And he was bigger than the other one. And when we weighed that turkey, he weighed like 20 3/4 pounds and had a 10.5-inch beard and had an inch in the probably an inch and 3/8 spurs. And that was the little one of the two. I
Oh
didn't
my
see that.
gosh.
But he laughed at me. He looked at me like, "You missed. Dadgummit, I missed too." Everything I shoot at, everybody misses. If you don't
Yeah.
miss something, you don't miss, you ain't shooting. I'm just telling you that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I emptied my quiver at a turkey once in the fall, like when out in where was that? Wisconsin. I went for on a deer hunt, but turkeys came in and they were open, and I just emptied my quiver. I almost shot my judo point at it. That was the last arrow in the quiver.
I shot it.
And this
It
didn't draw, didn't cut a feather.
hit it in the head, you killed it.
Yeah.
I was sitting in a tree stand and a groundhog came in and I had five broadheads in the tree stand. I was fixing to get at them in the morning. I shot all five of them, man, and I ain't hit him yet. He wasn't 15 yards away. Don't ask me why. I mean, that's trad hunting,
Yeah.
man. How good you shoot. If somebody tells me they don't ever miss, I don't believe nothing they say. Because
Yeah. They don't hunt, much if they're not missing.
I mean, they ain't shot nothing. Because I'm
No.
telling you, I figure trad hunting, I don't care how good you are, you hit 75% of it, you're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, if compound bow, if you hit 75% of it, you're doing great. Because 90% of the people out there shooting them can't do that good.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I
Well,
mean,
Lee, this has been great, man. I've been taking notes the whole time. I've got like 5 pages of notes. I feel like I learned a lot.
later in the season, though, we get up with me. We'll go. I know you can't draw the bow back. We
Maybe I can
maybe
just
we can get.
film you hunting.
Maybe, yeah, if I ain't done checked out, if I have,
Yeah.
maybe something out. You take something else with you. Maybe you can get you one.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, we need to have you back to talk deer hunting too, because every time we hunt together, I learn so much, and I think the listeners would really love that.
We talk about it anytime you want to. You're always welcome to come hunt with me anytime you want to.
I appreciate it.
Problem, man. You're good. I want us to kill one on the ground this year. I like that setup we had that year. We sat there. It just wasn't quite right that day, but I think that setup in that spot, I think we could
Oh
kill
yeah, and a real thick, like in the yeah, that
a few.
the grown up
Louisiana.
pines, like young pines.
We could kill a deer in there. I think we could kill one in there and get it on film and everything.
That would be awesome. That's a cool
Go
spot.
told about right. You do the shooting on it. See if we can get something.
Yeah, hopefully by this fall I'll be ready to go. I'm actually really close. My physical therapist says I'm about 95% flexibility in that arm. And then I just got to build the strength back up. So I'm sure by fall, knock on wood, should be good to go.
Be in there, you'll be ready to go. We'll get it done then.
All
I
right,
can see
man.
it, brother.
Thanks a lot, Lee. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
For having me.
All right, stick with me for a sec. I'll just stop the recording.